Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 12. After Jesus is born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born, King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would just come and speak to us today. We open up our hearts to you, and we invite you to come and speak to us through your scriptures. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this is a very familiar passage for many of us. This is the birth of Jesus Christ and these magi, wise men from the east. It's kind of a mysterious story if you think about it. I mean, who are these magi? They hear, I don't know if they hear from God, but they look at the stars and they see this star and they're prompted in their hearts to go and visit this baby Jesus, so they can pay homage to him. So they come through Israel, and they go to the king, because I guess in their minds, the star represented, they somehow knew that there was a king that had been born that deserved their worship. So they go to King Herod. Herod finds out where this king's from, and then he tells the Magi, and the Magi go. Right, so very familiar passage. But the part that I wanted to focus on today was from verse 9. So they go and they end up finding out which way they need to go. And then it says, after they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So that's the passage that I want to focus on today. And I believe that this little passage right here gives us an example of how we should respond to God, or how we should respond to Jesus when we come before him. Now, these three, well, I don't know if it's three. That's always the mystery. We don't know how many magi it is. We always assume it's three because they offer three gifts. But we don't know how many people there were. But the magi come, and first of all, what we see from their response to Jesus, what we see is verse 10. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. We see, first of all, a response of joy when they come into the presence of Jesus, or when they find out that they're going to get into the presence of Jesus. They come before the Lord overjoyed. Another version would say they were filled with joy. So my question for you today, this morning, is, are you overjoyed as you come into the house of God, are you overjoyed? You know our growing in Christ verse for the chapter on the church. It says, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. What's the scripture?
Psalm 1, 2, 2, 1.
Oh, that's good. Thank you. Psalm 122, verse 1. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So, yeah, are you guys overjoyed? Are you filled with joy as you come into the presence of God? When I think of the word overjoyed, there's always a mental picture that I have that kind of illustrates this idea of being overjoyed. And I always turn to 2004 World Cup Korea, World Cup Japan. And there is one match where Korea was battling against the Italians. And whenever I look back at the time, I think that is a picture of people that are overjoyed. If you're Korean, you all know what I'm talking about. When we're playing against Italy, by the way, Koreans don't really play soccer, but only when it's the World Cup. We're like the biggest soccer fans, biggest soccer critics, and we talk about soccer all the time. So I'm like that. I never play soccer, but when it's World Cup time, we'll all come together, we'll all go to a church member's house, and we'll be like, you know, diehard Korea fan. So Italy, they were beating Korea 1-0. And somehow, miraculously, near the end of the game, or end of the match, one of the Korean strikers, you know, kicked the ball, I think, and it went into the net. And so we were overjoyed. Everyone in the house is jumping up and down. We're screaming at the top of our lungs because we just tied the game. And then so we go into overtime, and I think we end up going into golden goal or something, where we're like, if we score one time, we win, or something like that. I might have missed the details. But our striker, he was famous guy at the time, 2004. And so somebody volleys the ball to him, and he just jumps up, and he doesn't even know where the ball is. If you see the replay, he doesn't know what he's doing. He jumps up, and he just kind of, there's one of these actions, and the ball hits the back of his head, and then it goes into the net, you know? And trust me, overjoyed. Everyone in that house was filled with joy because we had just created a miracle. Korea had beat Italy in the World Cups, you know? So whenever I think about overjoyed, I look back at that and I go, man, that is an overjoyed response to something. And here in the scripture it says, when they saw the star and they could see, basically they could see where Jesus was. They saw the star, they saw where Jesus was, and it says the reaction was they were filled with joy. But how many of us come to church today and, you know, we are filled with joy? Or we go into the quiet place, the secret place, and we have our quiet time, and we are filled with joy. Sometimes, you know, it's just a chore, you know? Sometimes it's like, okay, I have to go to EMP. Maybe if you don't have to come to EMP, maybe you're overjoyed when you come. But for those of us that are staff here, come on, let's be real and let the Holy Spirit speak to us. We have to come to EMP. Are we overjoyed as we come into the house of God? Or is it more like a burden at times, you know? So something to think about. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, let's turn to Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. I think this is the NASB version. It says, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. The psalmist says, in your presence is fullness of joy. When I think about that, I like that term, fullness of joy. That means there isn't any joy lacking. The joy quota in our hearts will be met as we go get into the presence of God. In His presence is fullness of joy. And I think joy should be the greatest, you know, tool of evangelism. Not, Bible bashing or preaching at them. But once we can show the world how joyful we are, you know, how much the presence of God exudes joy in our hearts and in our lives, I think people will be drawn to it, you know. And I think joy is also the greatest strength or weapon that we have against temptation. You know, because we're pulled in all different directions, sexual temptation, material temptation, whatever it may be. But once we realize in the presence of God is fullness of joy, it's not the kind of joy that the world offers. You know, Isaiah talks about, God speaking through Isaiah says, why do you buy milk and buy wine that does not satisfy you? Come to me and drink from me because that's going to satisfy you. Why do you go to all these things that won't satisfy? That's the same kind of thing. If we get into the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. So why do we turn to all these other things? That's not going to really fill us with joy. That's going to give us a little bit of joy, but it's not going to be complete. And we're going to be left longing for something else. So I think that's something for us to think about. And the third thing, maybe talking about joy that I want to talk about, is they must have had a longing for God. There was a longing in their hearts to get into the presence of Jesus. And that's why when they saw that they could do it, they were filled with joy. So how many of us come with God with this longing? I think so. For many of us, because church and the Bible is so accessible for us, often we take it for granted. You know, we can turn to God anytime we want to. At any given day, any given time, we can turn to the Lord in prayer. We can open up our Bibles. We can even open up our Bibles on our phones and turn to God and spend some time with Him. And maybe because of that, we just take it for granted. And we don't have that longing and that desperation that drives us and then that fills us with joy when we actually have a way to meet with Him. I'm just reminded of those stories of persecuted churches, you know, where they can't obtain a Bible because there's really no way for them to have one, but they'll end up maybe somehow with some pieces, some pages of the Bible, and they hold on to it. That's like their treasure. You know, they treasure it because that's the only access they have to the Word of God. And they're so excited when they get maybe another page added to their collection. And for us, it's so different. It's we take it for granted, and it's because it's so easy for us to turn to God. So I think, let the Holy Spirit speak to us, you know, about this heart of longing for Jesus and this heart of joy as we come into God's presence. So that's the first point. They were overjoyed. Then we move on to verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. That's the second point. They bow down and they worshipped him. This is a picture of reverence. You know, they bow down. Literally, it says they fell down. They fell down and worshipped him. The word worship in literal Greek means to bow down and to kiss someone's feet, you know? It's a picture of, you know, if somebody approaches the king, they might bow their head to the ground and they kiss the feet to show their reverence and their love and their honor. And so their reaction, first of all, is filled with joy. Then when they get into the presence of Jesus, they bow down in humility, in reverence, and they worship Him. They fall down on their faces and they worship God. So that picture is a picture of humility and surrender, reverence, lordship, obedience, all those things. And I think that's what's required of us when we come into God's presence, that we come before God recognizing that He is our Lord. You've heard that phrase, if He is not Lord of all, He is not Lord at all. Right? If He's not Lord over everything in our lives, He's not Lord at all. And what he requires of us is that we come before God recognizing that he is our Lord. And we come with surrender. And we come with this desire to say, God, we're going to obey whatever you tell us to do. You know, we're going to obey you. And they also come with a lot of humility. I mean, bowing down before somebody, that's humility. And they come with extreme humility to say, Jesus, you know, you deserve our worship. You deserve our surrender. And what's really cool about this is, first of all, they have this reaction of joy, filled with joy, maybe jumping up and down. Maybe they're high-fiving each other. They're like, yes, we saw the star. We're going to go to the presence of Jesus. And they're filled with joy. But when they come into God's presence, then they fall down in reverence and worship. And what I want to say is, you see this whole thing of being in the radical middle again. You know, there's one on one side is full of joy, just happy, you know, jumping up and down. But on the other side of that is reverence and humility and surrender. So coming before God is not just joy. Like, we get to, you know, some people take God a little bit too lightly. You know, we're just, it's like a party. And they come into God's presence and it's a party, and that's good. But we also have to remember the part about God where we need to come before the Lord in humility and surrender and reverence and obedience. And we cannot just go in one direction. We have to have both fully, you know. And that's what, you know, Pastor Sam's talked about that. He wants our church to be one where we're in the radical middle. We're not focusing on one or the other. We're not overemphasizing one or the other, but we do both very well. And when we come into God's presence, I think we need to have this. One side of it is God is our Father. God is our lover. So we come before him with joy. We come before him with thankfulness and this kind of peace and rest, and we can just be ourselves, be comfortable in God's presence. But on the other side of that is we need to come before the Lord with reverence and humility, and we need to recognize he is our Lord. You know, so we bow down before him. So there's both, right? Radical middle, full of joy, but also reverence. And the third thing is, then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The last part of that is they brought an offering to God. They brought some gifts to Jesus. And talking about gifts, sometimes gifts is a love language, right? You guys all know gifts is one of the five love languages. And when you are in love with somebody, getting a gift for that person, going out of the way to get gifts and get nice things and to give that beautiful thing to that somebody that you love, it is not a burden, you know? It is a joy. It is a joy when you're in love with somebody. You will go out of the way. You will get out of work early. I have a friend who just celebrated his one-year anniversary with his girlfriend. And he went out of his way to go to Tiffany's, you know? And he was excited about it. It wasn't like, oh, man, 1 year, I got to go buy this expensive thing and give to this girl. And well, it wasn't a bummer for him. He was filled with joy. He was like, yeah. 1 year, I'm going to get out of work a little early. I'm going to go to Tiffany's. I'm going to pick out this beautiful thing. And he was all excited. He was asking us, you know, what should I get? All these kinds of things. And we were encouraging him. We were saying, yeah, go out of the way and pay a little more and get something really nice for her, because we could tell that he is in love with her. And so gifts is a love language. But sometimes when we come before the Lord, when he comes to God, and it comes time for us to bring an offering, or we're offering our time to the Lord, things like that, it's a bummer. We're like, oh, I got to give money again, you know? I got to wake up early again, and I got to do this thing again. You know, because when you're in love with somebody, it's like a joyful thing. And let's say you get married to that person, and years go by. Eventually, times will come where it's a bummer to serve. You know, eventually, it'll be like, oh, man, I got to get another gift. You know? Sometimes it's like that for human beings too. With human love, the fire dies down a bit. But, you know, we rekindle it all the time. We make ways to rekindle that fire so we can keep that going. But with God, it's the same thing. When we first fall in love with Him, we're filled with joy, and it's not a bummer to give God a gift. But as years go by, later on, sometimes it could become a burden or a chore, or it's a bummer for us to have to, bring to God an offering, or maybe wake up a little early, give God our time. Fasting. We're fasting very soon. In 3 months' time, our church will be going into a fast. How many of you are excited? Or how many of you, it's like a bummer? It's like, oh crap, I better eat all that I can right now, because 3 months from now, we're going to be fasting. And it's like a thing that we're kind of dreading. But fasting is a way for us to bring God an offering. We're saying to God, you know, we're giving our food to you. We're giving our sustenance to you. And it's a way to for us to bring to God a gift, you know, bring to God an offering. So let's check our hearts. You know, at our church, if you've been at our church on Sunday service, we would say, you know, every time the announcement person goes up, they'll give the announcement and they'll say, it's our favorite time of the service. It's offering time, and the whole church kind of claps. But it feels a little artificial, I must say. It's not like we're genuinely like, yeah, offering time. It's more just like we just kind of started doing it because P. Sam talked about this in his sermon. He talked about a church that he went to where they did that kind of thing. So let's make that a real, genuine thing from our hearts. Let's not wait for an artificial, it's offering time, but let's really come to God with this sense of gratitude and this sense of joy and thankfulness that it's offering time, that we get to give God something. If you think about gift as a love language, and you think about the offering time as a chance for you to give God a gift to somebody that you love, then I think our perspective will change, because we've all been there. We all know what it feels like to give a gift to somebody that we love, and we know that that person is going to enjoy that gift. Then we are filled with excitement. We're like, ooh, I can't wait till this person opens the gift, till I get a chance to give this person this gift. Let's do that with God. You know, I hope we can come to a place where we can't wait to give God this gift, this offering that we've brought to Him. And we're so excited about it. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. A famous passage. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Here he talks about giving God an offering, not just of money or time or material things, but really giving our lives, giving our bodies, and offering that up to Him, which means really giving our whole lives, you know. So in talking about this offering, it's not just a material thing, but really it's giving God our everything, you know, and that's the kind of worship that God's looking for from us. So we talked about three things, you know. First of all is this idea of joy. They were overjoyed when they saw the star, when they could see where Jesus was. They were filled with joy. And let's pray to the Lord. God, fill us with joy as we come into your presence. And number two, reverence and worship. You know, they fell down on their faces and they worshiped God. And it's that radical middle, one of just being filled with joy. And it's kind of a lighthearted thing. But the second part is they were filled with awe and they revered God and they were humble before Him, you know? So let's also pray to the Holy Spirit to show us more of what that means to have this attitude of reverence and to see God as our Lord, you know, and to come before Him with obedience. And the last part of this offering, this bringing God a gift, you know? And let's pray that God would restore that heart of joy in us when we think about giving to God a gift. Material things, our time, and also just our everything, our whole being. So let's go before the Lord, and Janella is going to come and lead us in a time of worship. So let me pray for us. God, we thank you for this time. Thank you for this word and this beautiful short passage about the Magi coming before the Lord Jesus, and they responded, God, with joy and with reverence and with an offering, God. And I pray that we'll be able to also have that joy and that sense of awe and reverence, and that we will be also able to bring an offering to you, give to you a gift. And Holy Spirit, would you come and speak to our hearts, God, in these matters, God. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you.
As we were worshiping with this song, I was just reminded that, you know, the Magi, when they came before Jesus, they had no relationship with Him. You know, they didn't really know Jesus. They really didn't know that much about Him, yet they came with joy and reverence and this offering. And for us, we know His love. We know His character. We know what He is like. So how much more, you know, should we have this kind of a response when we come before the Lord? So God, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to come before you. I thank you so much for this song and for reminding us, God, about your love for us, God. And help us to truly be amazed at who you are when we come before you. And to be filled with joy. And yet, at the same time, to be filled with reverence, God. And that we will be able to offer to you our everything, God, as we come before you. Thank you, God. Let's turn to our group prayer focus. Let's pray for our friends, our church members. Let's really stand in the gap for them. Let's pray with compassion for them. Let's pray fervently for them. Let's pray together for those going through cancer, chemo, and waiting for the transplant. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for those of us, our friends, our family members that are going through an illness, a serious illness, but they're not saved yet. So let's pray that God would bring healing to them physically, but also spiritually, that He would release His salvation in their lives. So let's stand in the gap for them. Let's pray for them. Let's go to our third community prayer focus. Various infirmities, going through various illnesses. Let's just pray for healing for them. Let's pray for God's comfort and for God to be their strength in this time. So let's pray for our friends on the list. Let's go to our fourth prayer focus. Let's pray for our friends that are looking for a job. Let's pray that God would release something amazing for them. Let's pray that they'll have patience in this time and that they'll be able to trust God in this time. So let's lift up our friends looking for a job. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's pray for Korea, North Korea and South Korea. Pray for our the community of Christians, missionaries that we know in North Korea that we have visited before. Let's pray for the strength for them and that they'll be able to trust God and hear from God and persevere in that land. Let's pray for South Korea. Pray for the land, pray for the country, and also pray for maybe a future church plant that if God is leading us in that direction, let's pray that we'd be able to hear from God. And let's also lift up the country of Japan. Let's lift up the land. Let's lift up the churches in that land and also Pastor Mitsunobu, which is a contact that we have in Japan. So let's pray for strength for him. So let's lift up these three countries. Let's pray for our ministries at church, the intercessory prayer ministry, the well, our physical healing team, and Cascade, our inner healing team. Let's pray for them that they will have the anointing of God. Let's pray for protection for them from any backlash of the enemy. And let's also just pray for their personal lives, that they will be filled with joy and they will have the strength of God, that they will do really well at work. You know, let's just pray God's blessing over our friends in the three ministries. And let's also pray for our hospitality ministries, welcoming and barista, that God would help them to have so much love for the people that they're serving on Sundays. So let's lift up these ministries. Let's pray for the Hong Kong Korean church. This is a church where SP came out of. So they're kind of like our mother church. So let's pray for them. Let's just pray God's blessing over them. Pastor Choi, the senior pastor, they pray for the spiritual growth of the church and for the unity of the body. So let's pray for the Korean church. Let's pray for our house church meeting today. Let's pray for God's blessing over that house church. And also, let's pray for the retreat coming up. Let's really pray and ask the Lord to move powerfully in our retreat. Pray for Mon and Bonnie as they do all the logistical things. Let's pray for God's grace and wisdom over them. And pray for our speakers. Let's just cover the whole thing, that it'll be an awesome time. Pray for anybody struggling with visas. Let's pray for favor that all the visas will come through. So let's lift up the retreat. Thank you, God, for this time. Thank you for your word, and we thank you that you hear our prayers, God. All these things we lift up to you, God, and we thank you that you are our good Father, and that we can trust you in all these things. And give us, give us a heart of worship today, God. Help us to bring joy to your heart through everything that we do today. Help us to think about you throughout the day, God, and to walk with you throughout this day. And thank you so much for your presence and for your promises and for your faithfulness. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.